one's chanting the holy name of the Lord with concentration, does not change. When ecstasy takes place, tears fill the eyes and the hairs stand on end. It's a very, very long commentary, and it will be difficult to finish it. Also, we will only be able to highlight some of the things. And you are encouraged to read the whole purport at your own reading time. The whole process of spiritual kalsha is what we are doing. The whole process of spiritual kalsha is aimed at changing the heart of the living being in the matter of his eternal relation with the Supreme Lord. A subordinate servant, which is his eternal constitutional position. So with the progress of devotional service, the reaction of change in the heart is exhibited by gradual detachment from the sense of material enjoyment, by a false sense of lording it over the world, and an increase in the attitude of rendering loving service to the Lord. Two symptoms. One loses his attachment for material enjoyment, and increases, on the other hand, one's attitude to serve the Lord. This is called change of heart. Vidhi bhakti, or regulated devotional service by the limbs of the body, namely the eyes, the ears, the nose, the hands and the legs, as already explained here before, is now stressed here in relation to the mind, which is the impetus for all activities of the limbs of the body. It is expected by all means that by discharging regulated devotional service, one must manifest the change of heart. If there is no such change, the heart must be considered steel-framed, for it is not melted even when there is the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. We must always remember that hearing and chanting are the basic principles of discharging devotional duties, and if they are properly performed, they will follow the reactional ecstasy with signs of tears in the eyes, standing of the hairs on the body. These are natural consequences and other preliminary symptoms of the bhava stage, which occurs before one reaches the perfection stage of prema, love of Godhead. There's a beautiful second part to this,
but I want to encourage our mother with the child. Is the mother there, or immer hat er, man muss sehen, vielleicht beruhigt sie sich ja, aber wenn sie sich nicht beruhigt, oder kann man ja so draußen hören im Lautsprechersystem.
Also another thing we will have to concentrate for the second part. Maybe we can open the windows a little, because we are many in this. This room now has become a small room because of so many of us. We will require enough.
Can you open the door also?
Yeah, yeah.
Kannst du das machen, die Tür so ein bisschen? Man kann sich ja ein Schalter an, dass einem der Rücken nicht abgeht.
So, to summarize what Prabhupada has explained so far is, he has said that the whole process of spiritual culture is aimed at changing the heart so that you can feel in your heart, I am a servant of Krishna. Now Srila Prabhupada will summarize how this transformation will take a bow. It goes like this. The whole process can be summarized as follows. The advanced devotee who chants the holy name of the Lord in a perfectly offenseless manner and is friendly to everyone can actually cherish the transcendental taste of glorifying the Lord. And the result of such realization is reflected in the cessation of all material desires from the vital of the fort, as mentioned above. The neophytes, due to their being in the lower stage of devotional service, are invariably envious, so much so that they invent their own ways and means of devotional regulations without following the acharyas. As such, even if they make a show of constantly chanting the holy name of the Lord, they cannot relish the transcendental taste of the holy name. Therefore, the show of tears in the eyes, trembling perspiration or unconsciousness, and so weiter and so fort, is condemned. They can, however, get in touch with the pure devotee of the Lord and rectify their bad habits. Otherwise, they shall continue to be stone-hearted and unfit for any treatment. Now comes the last sentence, a very important sentence. A complete progressive march on the return path home, back to Godhead, will depend on the instructions of the revealed scriptures directed by a realized devotee. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vishaya. This is a verse Srila Jiva Goswami mentions in his work Bhakti Sandarbha as a very essential verse, because it really points out the greatest need in our spiritual development. Certainly the heart is still framed, which in spite of one's chanting the holy name of the Lord with concentration does not change. When ecstasy takes place, tears fill the eyes and the hairs stand on end. Can you imagine a steel frame around the heart? This is a very unusual. Here the verse says, only very unusual people do not change when they chant the holy name with concentration. Normally it is to be expected that there is a transformation in the heart. May I ask you, at the outset of our morning lecture, what you consider in your own spiritual life the most desired outcome? Now please let not the young people who are only for 1 month here rush up with their hands. This is usually what happens when you ask a question. I would ask a little bit those devotees who are more than 4 years in the movement to respond to this question. What do you consider the most desired outcome? What do you wish to see in your life as you are in Krishna consciousness? You want to become happy.
To feel a response by service from the Lord. If I am waiting that He will somehow respond.
I wish to have some response of the Lord. I'm serving Him.
That Srila Prabhupada
is satisfied with my service in this life.
That has reached a more and more mind instead of material attachment, that I can hear his voice or the inner voice.
Yeah. I must say, due to old age, I couldn't hear the first part. Can you please repeat?
That I have Krishna more and more in my mind.
That I have... Achacha, yes. That I have Krishna more and more in my mind instead of material attachments, and that I can hear him more instead of only listening to my mind. I think by listening to the devotees' answer, we can think also about our answer. What are we looking for? What do we wish? In this verse, a very important point is figured out. A transformation of the heart is desired. Srila Sanatana Goswami talks about this transformation by giving an example which reminds us of alchemistry. Alchemy. Have you heard about alchemistry? It was something invoked in the Middle Ages, where people were looking for a formula to transform ordinary metal into gold. That is a point of information. There is a rumor that Mahatma Gandhi's, as we say, we prefer to call him by his legal name, Mohandas Gandhi, that he could spread his Satyagrahi independence movement with the help of a yogi who knew the art to transform ordinary metal into gold. If you are interested in this art, you can see me after the lecture and I can tell you this, but if most probably it is not so relevant for your own life, because you would have to swallow liquid mercury to do this, and this is highly poisonous. Rumor has it that there was such a yogi who was able to do the necessary processes and transform iron into gold. Now, Sanatana Goswami, says that this indeed is possible to do. He says, just like by a chemical process, ordinary metal can be transformed into gold, also by the process of initiation, an ordinary conditioned soul can experience a transformation in his heart, so that he becomes a liberated soul, a servant of Krishna. In our movement, there's very often a misconception about initiation. It's something which you want to have, like you want to have a tool which helps you, and pair of glasses or loudspeakers to your Sony tape recorder, and in this way one thinks it will be easier to perform. Initiation is not just something which you have, it's something which you also have to continue doing. Initiation will only work when there is two things: this ceremony which connects you Sampradaya, but this takes place in about 1 hour or so, and then you obtain your name and sometimes a banana. But there is another, a much more important part of initiation, and that is that you are coming under the guidance, under spiritual guidance, under spiritual training, which is offered by our sampradaya, means our spiritual
school which is administered by Srila Prabhupada, and now in his absence by his loyal followers. And this part, the second part, is a lifelong process, which means hard work on the part of someone who takes such a discipleship. It means to again and again open your mind for spiritual instructions which will help you to undergo this alchemistic transformation. To transform the heart is certainly not an easy matter. I think by now those of you who have responded to this question, what would you like to see in your spiritual life, can say that it is not so easy. There are many statements from Indian folklore which say how difficult it is. They say it's more difficult to move the Himalayan mountains than to move a character. There's many stories, and I will tell you one, but already we are quickly moving up the oxygen, and we are moving in the dangerous zone of falling asleep. So we might have to get. Du bist doch eine gebildete Studentin. Wenn du ab und an die das nach eigenem Ermessen eröffnest und für den Sauerstoffzufuhr sorgst. Ja, das ist aber ein ongoing process. Once there was a scorpion who was in a dilemma. He had the habit to cross over the bridge to see his friends on the other side for social discussions. But due to the monsoon season, the river had swollen up and had taken away the bridge, so that he could not see his friends any longer. And a terrible situation to be isolated from one's community is a social death, and the scorpion was determined to do something against it. So he one day went to the camel and said, "Brother," "I'm not your brother," said the camel, and moved carefully 5 meters away from the scorpion. "No, no, brother, we are brothers in interest. Not in species, but in interest. I see you going over the river, and I have the same interest. I want to see my community and discuss. I have not seen my friends for 2 weeks, and my request to you is that you allow me to crawl on your back and that I swim with you over the river." "I'm not a foolish camel. I'm an intelligent camel. I know that the scorpion is the natural enemy of anyone and everyone. He's envious by nature. And if I allow you to come on my back, you will certainly sing me to death." "Scorpion," "there may be foolish scorpions, but I'm not a foolish scorpion. I'm an academically trained scorpion. Just see, if I would sting you and you would die, then I would also die. So, by the natural law of everyone is himself the most dearest creature on the earth, I cannot sting you. It will be my own death if I sting you." The camel was convinced by logic. It said, "Come on." The scorpion went on top of the bag, and the camel entered the river to swim over. Now, in the midst of the river, sting. The camel couldn't understand. Now he had to die. "Why have you stung me? Why have you done this incredibly foolish act, which is even against your own self-interest? We have to both die now. said the camel that had the poison was gripping towards his heart. The scorpion said, I'm very sorry, but what can I do? It is my habit. What can I do? Both of them died. Now, to convince you how strong your habit is, I will make an interactive experiment with you. I want to request you to fold your hands like Madhavananda. Find the most comfortable position for folding your arms, not hands. Fold your arms, not hands. Sorry. Are you feeling comfortable, or maybe you want to change the position?
No.
No, better like this. Now, are you all comfortable?
Yes.
As much as one can be in this. Now, we will make the second part of the experiment. But I first need to ask you, Deva, is your right arm hand over the left arm, or your... right is over left.
Yeah.
Who also has this? Now we will change our position. If you were right over the left, you must put the left over the right. But if you were left over the right, then you have to go right over the left. How does this position feel now?
Not so uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable. Then you are not comfortable.
Strange.
Unusual. Thank you for participating in this experiment. You have been like many thousands and millions of people who have done this experiment. You follow your habit. If you go against your habit, you feel immediately uncomfortable. I think you have never been aware if you go right over left or left over right. It's something you do automatically. It is ingrained within you. It is a natural, almost genetic activity. Now, you are composed of a complex network of habits which you are not aware of. Your secondary nature, your conditioned nature. And as soon as you will start to change it, you will become uncomfortable. In Krishna consciousness, when we want to change our habits and no longer act like a conditioned soul. Did this go be Paranatana?
Yes, sir.
Hare Krishna. Is it you or your... I can't believe my eyes.
The original.
The original, yes. Welcome.
Gopi Paranadana, I'm too sorry to just say a little bit here. He's our Sanskrit expert. He has done an incredible work over many, many years translating from the Sanskrit into the English language. He is in Vrindavan, and I'm very happy. I didn't even know about it. We are extremely surprised and happy to have him here. Uh-huh. I hope he will give us some special seminar or something that he can relish this time. But he wants to give a seminar. That's wonderful. So let us all give a short hand to Gopi Paranadana.
Elf is coming. So,
to go against the conditioned nature of trying to enjoy the material world and to become a servant of Krishna will mean one has to leave his comfort zone sooner or later. And at this moment, one instance or one agency within our conditioned mind will start to feel uncomfortable and will start to revolt. It is the false ego, which will not be very happy if we are all of a sudden changing a habit which we have assumed since many, many, many lifetimes, that is to think ourselves the enjoyer in the concept of aham mameti, I am, and these are my, this is my interests and so on. And spiritual life, in other words, is something which will always mean a transformation of the heart. The transformation in the heart does not take place, then we are not a spiritual society but a material society. And the transformation of the heart will mean to change one's long ingrained conditioned nature slowly and bit by bit, but it will be not so easy. Something has to be expected. The revolt of the ego will come at one stage. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his 8 instructions, talks in the 3rd verse about a powerful mental attitude and also spiritual practice to do something against the expected revolution of the false ego in our life. He says the devotee should adopt a mood of humbleness and a mood of mercifulness towards others, a mood of tolerance against what is to be expected, the unpleasantness of life, and finally he should be respectful towards others. It is this will protect us when we are in the process of transformation. This will protect us against the ugly revolt of the ego, who will revolt against this this feeling of I feel so, where is my place? I feel so out of place. I feel that there is no vision in my life. This is the reaction which comes when you change your conditioned nature, want to become a servant of Krishna, a selfless service servant of Krishna. The transformation on the spiritual path has been illustrated by the example of a caterpillar who will transform in a very complex biological process into a butterfly who can free himself from the earthbound condition. So a devotee of the Lord will have to undergo this a similar sense of transformation from the caterpillar to the butterfly, so that he can leave the earthbound condition of material attachment and become attached to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, he says, the transformation means detachment from sense enjoyment by the false sense of lording it over of material nature, and to increase the attitude of devotional service of the Lord. I wish to now give you a little illustration of what lies ahead of us in order to make the point very clear. Then we will encourage all of you. At this moment, my lecture will become so intense that some of you will begin to feel discomfortable, but don't worry, the comfort zone we will reach, but for a moment we need to leave it. When we were in Puri this year, we were the guest of Prajapati Maharaj, that is the present king of Puri, who gave us a guided tour through Puri. And one of the stations was the Imamat. The Imamat is a very interesting monastery which lies at the eastern gate of the Puri temple. And it is ruled since a long, long time by the Ramanujas. In this mat we met the present head of the mat. Ramanuja Gopal is his name. And after exchanging a few pleasantries, he came and gave me a lesson I shall never forget. The mood changed. We had exchanged pleasantries, and it was clear he wanted to talk philosophy, something which is also close to me. And he said, "Sachidanand Swami, how long are you now in this ISKCON movement?" I said, 30 years. He said, "And what have you attained after these 30 years?" What have you really attained? I didn't know where he was going on at, and I said, "In Madhurya Kadambini it is stated that at the level of sadhan bhakti, two things happen, kleshagni and shubhada." And I continued to give this philosophical explanation, and I quoted verses, because I know when you're with the Ramanujas you have to quote verses. And I went into the whole thing, and then he said, "Thank you. I don't believe you have attained this, because the transformation of the heart is very, very difficult." He said, "Wait a minute, I have just started to explain it philosophically. I have an answer." I felt he was really getting at me, and I was feeling very uncomfortable, because who wants to be slaughtered in Puri? And he said, let me tell you. And then he went into this explanation. He said, "I have asked this question to all spiritual leaders of India, and the last one I met was a yogi in a cave in Kedarnath. This yogi is known as the most renowned person, and I was going to him with an assistant. The yogi lives for many, many years only on prana. He lives in a cave, and when we visited him, there was a pile of money before him, which pilgrims had placed as an offering." This is what you do in, the pilgrims do in India. "But he had not even touched one rupee." So then the yogi desired, we were discussing. Now first he was meditating for 1 hour, then he opened his eyes, looked at us and said, "Let's meditate." Then he meditated for us for another 2 hours. It was high air, very cold, but we had to do it. Then he said, "Okay, you have a question?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Just wait, you have to just quickly pass. Apparently when you do live from pran, there's also some humidity in the air, and then you have to also pass." So he just quickly stepped over the money, went into the bushes, and passed. And then while he was away, I said to my assistant, "Now you quickly sit on his seat." My assistant said, "I can't do this. I can't go on a spy tag. This is not very good." "No, no, I'm here. I will protect you." So then the yogi came back. He saw a foreigner. Some foreigner, maybe not the right word. A person strange person, a new person, sitting on his baitak, on his seat. He couldn't believe his eyes. He became furious. How dare you sit on my seat? This was just what Ramanuja Gopal had waited for. He said, "My dear Jogi so and so, you are known all over India as the most renowned, but you have not even given up attachment to a sitting place. You have given up the whole world, money, but you are attached to your position on the sitting place with all the name and the fame which it gives you." The yogi felt sad.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm still attached. His heart was not transformed. We hear that by great austerities there is a danger that the heart becomes hardened, and the ego principle of aham mameti becomes very, very strong. It is not advised in our tradition for this reason to perform hard austerity. Now Ramanuja Gopal turned to me and said, "Now, what have you really attained in your life? Not some poor show. How do you perform under severe conditions? What have you attained after your 30 years?" I gave him an answer, which I will not give you now. A little later I will give you the answer. I just want to make the point, transformation of the heart is not an easy thing. It is not something which comes by so fast. It does not come by shaving only your head. or taking external things. And I think we have in our movement many interesting study cases of devotees who with very good intentions have attained high positions but found themselves not able to give up the sting, the conditioned response. We have seen devotees who really tried their hearts and who sit now in the corner crying, "Why did I do this abuse of my position? Why did I do this very foolish thing? Why is my heart like a mine of coal which you can wash and wash and wash and still the dirt comes? Why? Why is it so hard?" Maybe you have at times also cried in the corner of your life and seeing that this is hard. How is it possible to transform the heart? I want to turn this question out to Gopi Paranadana Prabhu, because this is such an essential question, and we will now hear from someone more qualified than me, more read and so on. What would you say to this very interesting and I think welcome this very deep question? Is it possible at all?
Is that possible by our own endeavor? We do not need to find Krishna sitting in our heart, and it's when we get his blessings and the blessings of our spiritual master and pure devotees we can actually be transformed, not by our own endeavor at all. But the well wishes and blessings of Krishna and his devotees is very important. That can purify us.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much. It is not possible on our own, but by the great blessings, the strength of another energy, a spiritual energy which is transferred on us, it can happen, not our own energy. In bhakti, we do have a process, but this process only works if it is empowered by mercy. And Prabhupada, he says in the fifth canto, the active principle in devotional service is kripa, is mercy. The mercy of the pure devotee and the mercy of Krishna. This is how bhakti can enter the heart. This mercy is the active principle. See, for a car, the combustion or burning of the benzene is what then makes the active principle. It moves the car on. In the same way, in spiritual life, mercy is the active principle. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he speaks of a combination of endeavor and mercy. He says the endeavor is always very, very small in comparison to the amount of mercy which is required to get us going. And he says, referring to the Damodar Leela, that you know, the rope was always two fingers too short. These two fingers mean we want to get to Krishna, we need a little endeavor on our part and a maximum of mercy of Lord Krishna. This endeavor is done by engaging the senses in the regulated practice of devotional service. And then later to also engage the mind in Krishna service. We just stand there and beg for the mercy. We need to endeavor a little, following the rules and regulations on our part. This much is expected from us, and then the mercy comes. I'm looking at the clock and I see the time is coming to an end. I will make two points now to conclude this lecture. The first point of mercy is very nicely illustrated by a lovely little leela of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada went with his disciples once in the New York Central Park during the cold season, when the ducks were very much in need of food because the elks and so on are not so tasty at that time and so on. So compassionate people go in the park and feed old bread to the ducks. And the devotees also brought a stack of old chapatis and bread and went on the morning walk. And one devotee started by Prabhupada was walking in the center park to feed the ducks. Now Prabhupada became interested in this and he moved to the feeding place and he looked at it and he studied it in this analytical way. Then he turned around to the devotees and said, who gets the most of the ducks? Now, there was one particularly intelligent duck who made a particularly health-inciting quack. His quack was so, it stirred the heart. Quack, 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 quack. And naturally, because he was quacking so nicely, the devotee always, you know, he wanted to be equal-minded, or, you know, as he, I guess he wanted, but he found himself always supplying the duck. Prabhupada, he said, the duck who quacks the loudest gets the most. So in the same way, a devotee should learn the simple art of praying for the milast, for the mercy. And this is a very, very important thing. And you will be surprised. The endeavor part is said by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He gives the following example. When a poor man who has nothing to eat wants to eat, he goes into the association of a rich grihastha. In the same way, a devotee has to make the endeavor to come into the association of other devotees, and then he will get it. It will happen. You can be rest assured, if this festival, the organizers have done everything to do it, make it a nice festival. We have even made a flag now, and Garuda, I saw Hanuman this morning. Garuda and Hanuman are waiting up there to look over the festival things and so on. I hope that you all will be gifted with that alchemistic process in you, the heart, so that you can also attain the transformation. When Gopa Guru asked me, what have you attained? I said, the holy name. It was given to me. And I want to say, I want to rephrase your question. I don't think it is wise in spiritual life, at least not in the bhakti tradition, to say you have attained anything. Better count what you have gotten, what you have obtained from the Supreme Lord at the present in your heart. Well, rock and roll is very close. Our tendencies are very close. Very hard to transform the heart. So I wish to end now. Make this point. Please watch the transformation of the heart. The transformation of the heart will come if you take to the gifts which Srila Prabhupada has given to us. And then it will come. Srila Prabhupada says what we are can look forward. It's very interesting how he makes his purpose. He says, well, at the stage of bhava, voice and so on. But then he says, these symptoms are not as important because you can imitate them in this world. More important are the internal symptoms of love in the heart. You will learn to love Krishna finally. That's the transformation. And he says, a real steady bhava is definitely displayed in the matter of cessation of material desires. Shanti. You will not have so many material desires. You can also measure your heart. Now, how much material desires do you have? Don't say it. It's a private investigation you have to do. Then next, utilization of every moment in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. A devotee whose heart is transformed cannot tolerate to waste his time in nonsense activities. Next is eagerness for glorifying the Lord constantly. Nama Dana Sadaruchi. Attraction for living in the land of the Lord. Pritistat Vasatistale. And then complete detachment from material happiness and pridelessness. One who has developed all these transcendental qualities is really possessed of the stage of love of God, as distinguished from the stone-hearted imitator or mundane devotee. Hare Krishna. The transformation, in other words, means love will come in the heart. We are a movement for love of Godhead. Hare Krishna. So I want to end here. Feel the pressure of time, because we want to have the seminar in time. But maybe there are a few questions which I will answer as brief as possible.
I think what you've landed on, I thought that was really to the point, to sum it up, that if you actually please our spiritual master, then His mercy is coming forward, and all these these things, as it says, in the prayer of Vishwanatha Chakravarti. But there's one thing, His Holiness Jayadeva Swami made a very shocking statement this year in Mayapur, in Vrindavan, by giving a class, and it deeply moved my heart. Somebody put him on the spot and asked him in the question and answer session, what have you attained? I mean, he talked about the chanting. He said, on your personal chanting, how much have you attained? How long are you in the movement? He said, well, I'm in the movement, later on in 1966 or 67, he said. And as far as attainment, he said, if you ask me what is the difference, that was the question, what is the difference between you chanting, then the man said, what is the difference between you chanting at that time and chanting nowadays? What is the difference? And he makes a shocking statement, he said, 34 years. And I was deeply moved when he said that. I was very humble way of expressing himself. It hit me in the heart, and I was very happy how he was able to do that instantly, to give his one-foot answer. Very advanced Vaishnava.
At this point, we could say that there are two possible, philosophical opinions in our movement. One says, yes, just go on. And it's an automatic process. The other strand says, yes, it is an automatic process, but you need to monitor, you need to look, and you have to throw out the weeds, because sometimes devotees chant for a long time, and after some time they leave the process and do things which is not so well. I think it's a combination of both. There is important to be on the process, move with great hope that the mercy will come. At the same time, it's important to watch the heart and see, maybe some weed is growing and the bhakti lata is stunted by it. Even though I may be in a long time in the process, it is not a guarantee that I purify, that I become purified. I must also work on my own purification by looking at the weeds which will come up on the process. Transformation of the heart, in other words, is something one must look for. But, and I think this is a point of Prita Prabhu, it is not something which we can struggle and grab for. There is a very important thing to be noted at this time in our movement. Devotees feel, have I attained something? They feel a tortuous panic, we say. Tortuous panic. They say before it's too late. they feel not even that they want to change into other processes and take other initiations and so on. This is something which is very wrong, because Krishna has made this arrangement for us, that we have met Srila Prabhupada in His great mercy. And we must now stick to the process and give our best to come to the altar. But the main thing will be the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Krishna in our life. Because we are weak, we are ordinary, our heart is impure, and so on and so forth.
I have a personal question. I recognize that I have this habit of stinging others and a habit of opposition. If people say to me, well, go on, it's really difficult to go on. Maybe you can advise something
Well, when you see a problem, then in our tradition we do like this, we pray to the Lord, please, I'm a fallen conditioned soul, and this is called a certain type of prayer which you can see in our Vaishnava traditions, where the devotees recognize the mistake. They say, I'm a sinful. Like this Gopinath prayer is so wonderful. I'm a fallen soul. I'm a foolish materialist. I'm full of lust. Then he's, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, I tried so many things. It did not work. But you are the wisest person. Now you please come and sit in my heart and move away these things. Don't go over your, don't just ignore your contamination. This has been done a lot, many, many years in ISKCON by many good-hearted devotees. They have not, they just conveniently ignored the weeds in the heart and gone on. And we have to face them to say, oops, there are the weeds in the heart. My dear Lord, please come to my help and save me. Without your mercy, nothing is going on.
Yeah. Just well, just like you said, there is another school in ISKCON where people say, well, automatically this will come. I think we should really chastise that idea, because there can't be two schools, because Lord Chaitanya set his personal example by going to the Gundicha temple and emptying out the Gundicha temple, cleaning out the Gundicha temple, making sure that even the slightest piece of dirt is removed. And so, following that line of Lord Chaitanya, if somebody were to say, well, I follow another school, namely, that everything is going on automatically, I get the mercy of my guru automatically, or whatever, or the mercy of Krishna. Now, we couldn't accept that at all. There would be a deviation. There can be only one school. And that is, we have to please Srila Prabhupada. And we can only please him if we really make an endeavor to purify our hearts and just satisfy the requirements he has put before us, the instructions he has given, and then the mercy will come. So if somebody thinks it comes automatically, well, that's what I'm concerned in mind. Sorry.
Transformation of the heart seems to be an interesting subject. Yeah.
What do you think of the idea of tolerance, not only be tolerant with others or with the circumstances, but also become tolerant with oneself and with one's own faults and fallen conditions, etc.?
What do you think of tolerance, not only towards others, but to our own self? I personally think, I would use the word, be realistic, what you can do, and so on. For that, we have the Varnashram concept of slowly advance, finding your situation in this world, seeing your needs which you have, and supplying them in a Krishna conscious and dharmic way. I would say this, we should go, when we see we have weak spots, I don't think it is very wise to just live with them if we wish to go to Krishna. This is what I presume. But we should see, well, I have weak spots. I need to situate myself in such a way that I will be emotionally, physically, socially in a good position to fight with Maya. But we should never give up the fight. Only we should find out a realistic place in our life from where we can address our contaminations and conditioning. I want to give a very nice example which really made me think. I heard it in one of the lectures. It is an example, as far as I can say, not from tradition, but it touches on the tradition very much. It makes and so on. Once there was a scientist, as the devotee said, who watched the transformation from a caterpillar to a butterfly. And he thought, well, the caterpillar is struggling so much, let me help it. And at a stage where the wings had not really grown prematurely, he took out the glitchy, the slimy, slimy thing out of the cocoon. It had grown some wings already, but it hadn't been given the time to develop properly. And now this creature was on the table and obviously tried to fly or come out but it hadn't been given the right circumstance to grow, and that it couldn't grow on the table. It died. The scientist had done a great disfavor to the poor creature by just prematurely taking it out of the situation which was necessary to him. He had a very nice discussion with Preeti Prabhu, and it's a very good. We are both preachers, and it's very important to discuss amongst preachers. And he said something very wise about this point, that some devotees just need an environment where they can grow slowly or can grow according to their needs. If, for instance, a devotee would be sent the whole life on Sankirtan, but he is not really a Sankirtan devotee, we would do him a disfavor, although we would like him to, you know, do 20, how many hours, 10 hours, now 8 hours, maybe 8 hours of selfless service and so on. He would not be able to fly nicely. So the process of transformation, as important it is, and as important it is to look in our heart, if the weeds or the dust and grains can really go and something happens, you know, we need to administer it very intensely. It's an intense process. Therefore, the example of alchemistry has been given. Sanatana Goswami, he says, by this process, iron is moved to gold. This is the transformation of the heart. But we all need to look forward to this goal in our lives, so that we can, we need to see, and we need to be honest with ourselves. Yeah, the mercy, the mercy, the mercy.
Hare Krishna. One more question.
Yeah.
You were telling the story about the scorpion's bad habit. Yeah. The habit certainly was destructive. But just now you were speaking about the person finding his proper occupation and situation, so he develops the strength actually to pacify and to live an ordinary life. But I would say from own experience that living an ordinary life entails acquiring all kinds of good habits, like rising in time, taking the train or getting to the car, and behaving properly towards other people. And we know that bad habits create bad karma, but like this example you used to scorpion, bad habits bring about bad reactions, but good habits bring about good reactions. But in devotional service, we want to become free from both, right? We don't want to get another life because we have so many good reactions coming up because of all of our good habits. So the transformation you were indicating would also have to do with the good habits. We also have to transform our good habits, isn't that right?
transformation. And do we also have to transform our good habits when we speak of transformation? Not just the bad. Well, I would say good habits are indicative of the mode of goodness, and they help us to link with devotional service and to stay steady, and better to stay steady in devotional service. Whereas a person who is overcome with the rajasic and tamasic influences doesn't stand such a good chance of steadiness. So, but from whatever position you are, this is very important, either you are coming from the tamagun and rajagun, like most of us Westerners, let me better speak for myself, and so on, or you come from the mode of goodness, you, if you stay with devotional service and do an honest devotional service, avoiding the pitfalls and trying the good, trying this, then you will be transformed. Either if you are in goodness or in rajas, will be transformed if you stick to it. And you are correct. Even goodness is something which will be transformed because it's a material mode, and devotional service ultimately is, we look for pure devotional service which will please Krishna. And if, as we do our Vaidhi Bhakti, our, you know, according to the rules and regulations, we may not always have the right motive, but if we do the right thing, soon it is, we will become purified, so that our motives also become purified, and then we do both the right thing and we have the right motive, which is devotion service with a positive desire to please Krishna, which is favorably performed. Hare Krishna. I feel the stench of time. Thank you very, very much. I wish you a wonderful day in Krishna consciousness, in seminars and so on. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gaur Nitai ki jai, Go Premanandi Jai, Go.